Have your Bibles, turn with me today to the book of 1 Corinthians, going to chapter 16. I want to title my message this morning, or I have, Passionately Enthused. Passionately Enthused. I think the world, the church used to influence the world. And I appreciate the enthusiastic worship here this morning and the passion that we have. But my message today is that we will keep that passion and we will keep that enthusiasm throughout the week, throughout the month, and throughout the year. Passionately enthused. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, beginning at verse 13. We live in a strange world in 2022, but it has not changed God's concept or precept of what He desires in this world. He said, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quiet you like men," or act like men. Somebody say, act like men.
Amen.
"Be strong." Paul was speaking to the church here. "Let all your things be done with charity, with love." He said, "I beseech you," or "I come to you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanus, that it is the first fruits," note that, "the first fruits of Achaia, and they that have addicted themselves," somebody say addicted, "to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourself unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth." You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I noted and had you to note the word "first fruits of Achaia," which those that have addicted themselves, and I could not help but be drawn to that first fruits, because we remember when we first got saved that we didn't have any trouble whatsoever addicting ourselves to the things of God. Hello. Come on, preach with me for just a little while. The first fruits. When we first got saved, we was adamant about being in church. We was adamant about helping our neighbor. We was adamant about giving God our tithe. We was adamant about showing the love or the charity to everybody that was around us, including our neighbor that couldn't stand us. We had made up our mind. We had addicted ourselves that we was going to be nice to them. Now, in the scripture, the word "addicted," in other translations, use the word like devoted, consecrated, helping in serving, and spending their lives in doing so. So I have some questions I'd like to ask myself this morning. Is my passion for Jesus Christ addictive? That's in him. Can we ask ourselves the question, is my passion for Jesus Christ addictive? Does my enthusiasm for Christ resonate with those I work with those I shop with those I'm around? Does that enthusiasm for Christ, does it resonate to them, or does my enthusiasm, is it only involved when I'm at church and worship on Sunday morning and Sunday night? Come on. I'm not throwing stones. He said to stir up our minds by way of remembrance. So it is vitally important that we understand that our enthusiasm that should resonate with people is addictive. Can I say that again? I didn't have that written down. So Brother Steve, I may not say it right the second time. But our enthusiasm should resonate with people we're around and become addictive. So what does our character tell others about our relationship with Jesus Christ? Does our character? What does it tell others about our relationship with Jesus Christ? How many wants to be the best Christian you can ever be? Don't get mad at me when I'm saying. God spoke to my heart about this, okay? I'm just trying to help you come to that place that we love Jesus Christ more than we love anything else in this world. So what does my character tell others about my relationship with Jesus Christ? On Sunday morning, do they see me go to church? On Sunday night, do they see me lounging in the backyard? Hello? I didn't even have that in my notes. Sorry, I just slipped out. Do they see me excited about going to church on Sunday morning, but allow words to slip that shouldn't be in a Christian's mouth by the time Friday rolls around? What does my character tell others about my relationship with Jesus Christ? Could it be that somehow we are more like Thomas that refused to believe until we see? Boy, y'all are awful quiet today. Y'all were shouting a while ago. What is the problem now? It's the Word. The Word that's going to get you out of this world alive. We worship. Do y'all understand and realize that we worship God in this time that we sing these songs and we worship and we praise God? It's in those times that God is preparing our heart, our spirit, and our soul to receive the Word of God. It's in those times. Or perhaps we are somewhat like Samson. We're ready to tie foxtails together and turn them loose on fire in our enemy's field. We're ready to fight the Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. At least until we see something we want more. How about Paul that would draw a sword at the first sight of conflict and told Jesus he'd walk through hell and back if that time comes, but he relinquished when hell did show up? So what determines or affects our passion for Jesus? I understand. I told someone this morning, I understand as you get a little older, you begin to be more sensitive to what the Spirit says and how fragile life is. And that's just a part of it. And I look back now and I see what my parents and I've seen what the elders have tried to tell us. And I wish I would have paid more attention. I said, I wish I'd have paid more attention. I wish that somehow I could open up my chest and let you see what my heart feels this morning. For the passion of Christ is much more than a Sunday morning affair. So what determines our passion and affects our passion for Christ? What do we have to face before our enthusiasm fades? What dictates the depths of our relationship with Jesus Christ? What dictates our relationship with Jesus Christ? This is no reflection, Brother Danny. That movie last night was awesome. But hear what I'm saying. The movie we watched last night was War Rooms. And perhaps our only response to it is this. As we watched that movie, didn't get to watch all of it, but as you watched that movie, there was multiple lessons that we could learn from it. And several things that we should implement in our lives. But most probably, our response will be something like this: wow, that was a really good movie, while we make no attempt to make any changes to our spiritual life. You know I'm telling you the truth. Hey, I is one. Okay? I struggle. I know there's things I need to do different. And I struggle. And it brings me to a place like this that I realize that my passion for Christ has waned and my enthusiasm has waned and I've got to do something about it. He hasn't changed. He hasn't left. It's my duty to do something about it. Am I telling you the truth? We look at that movie and we say, wow, that was a great movie. But we don't do anything to change. It's kind of like the messages the preacher preaches on Sunday morning. Or the messenger on Sunday night. Or the teacher on Wednesday night. Wow, that was a great sermon. But we do nothing to implement those things. I want to be an honor for Jesus Christ while I live. There's times in my life that I've made mistakes and I've made blunders and I've failed miserably. But from this point on, I want to draw a line in the sand saying, Father God, I want to be an honor to you the rest of my life, every moment of every hour of every day. In Judges chapter 6, beginning at verse number 12, we see that the angel of the Lord comes to Gideon. How many members, Brother Gideon? The angel of the Lord came to him and said to him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, listen to the enthusiasm in Gideon's voice. And the Lord, as the Lord spoke to him, and Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, see if this doesn't sound just like where we're at. If the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen to us? Why am I going through all of this stuff? Why is all these things? Lord, if you're really God and you say who you say you are and do what you say you do, why is things so hard for me? Why is all this befallen us? And where is all the miracles which our father told us? Saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. That response that Gideon gave the Lord, he totally missed verse number 10 of that same chapter. Brother Dave, can you whip up verse 10 of chapter 6? And I, the Lord, said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, little g, in whose land you dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Gideon, get a life. You wouldn't be in this situation if you just listen to me. Hey, this is good preaching. This will get you out of this world alive. I'm telling you, we need to get the fire and enthusiasm back in our life where it shows on Monday through Saturday and not just on Sunday morning. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. Can you see him getting his hanky out? Lowering his voice. Lord, I'm poor, poor me. There ain't no way I can do this. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Now I'm sure as I read that, some of you was able to grasp the passion and enthusiasm in Gideon's voice more than others. But I'd like for you to really listen to me closely today and hear my heart. Our lack of passion and enthusiasm, once you get this. Listen, our lack of passion and enthusiasm does not inhibit God doing His thing. Boy, that's good. My disobedience doesn't inhibit God getting the job done. He'll find somebody else that will. But in this time, in this hour, here I am, Lord, use me. Our lack of passion and enthusiasm does not inhibit God from doing His thing. But it's our lack of passion and enthusiasm that keeps the gospel from reaching its full potential. Do you hear me? God chose to use you. God chose to use you. People want to see what you got is real. People want to see. That wasn't really good English, was it? To see what you got. is real. Have you ever met someone that claimed, you with me, claimed to be a Christian? And it didn't take long for you to realize you didn't want anything they had. Come on. We've all acted like that at times. Huh? Well, this is good, ain't it? Good and grits and greater and greater. You all just ain't tasted it yet. I'm not scolding you. I'm telling you, we've got to get our enthusiasm back. We've got to get our passion back. Jesus has commissioned us to go into all the world. That includes your neighborhood, your workplace, where you shop, or wherever else you might infiltrate. And have you ever been to a place that you felt like you was infiltrating their space? Most certainly. We need the love of Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you in this day and hour that we're living in, people's attitude in Arkansas language stinks. They could act like they could care less if you're in there spending your hard-earned money to patronize them. But can I give you some good news today? It's those people that need your enthusiasm and passion the most. It's not a position to where you snap back and you want to line them out, though you may want to. You don't need to or shouldn't, but they need the passion and the enthusiasm that Jesus Christ has given you in your life. Oh, come on, somebody. How many of those people have we met this week? And how many times did we miss it? Having an opportunity to show our passion and our enthusiasm. Gideon and his family was in great distress, thrashing wheat in a wine press was not the proper place. It was Gideon's private place. It was his unexpected or unsuspected corner because he feared the Midianites, his enemy. Fearful attack. And worried about the safety of their family, the Israelites, along with Gideon and his family, found themselves hiding in dens and in mountains and in caves. Fear, church, fear will cause you to lose your passion. Fear will cause you to lose your enthusiasm. And here's a worse one. Fear will cause you to lose your anointing. Can somebody hear me now? Yes. It was in this season of personal and national unrest that the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon in Ophrah, and that was a place, not a person. Did y'all get that?
Yes.
Okay. Giving him the commission to lead Israel. Giving him the commission to lead Israel. And to deliver them from their tormentors. Some of you have been tormented as the enemy has come and has lied to you, has tried to get your enthusiasm and passion down to the lowest point of your life. But I just come to tell you today that God never fails, nor is He ever too late. For you see, the day of our greatest distress is God's time to show up and give His people relief. Can I say that again? The day of our greatest distress is God's time to show up and give His people relief. It was after the angel had consumed, listen to me, it was after the angel had consumed the meal on the rock that Gideon had prepared for him. It was after the two fleeces that later that Gideon began to get a little bit enthusiastic. It was his zeal that caused him to destroy the altars of Baal and cut down the groves of Baal. even in the fear of what his family would do, because that they was in idolatry in big time right then. And Gideon built an altar unto the Lord and sacrificed unto the God of Israel. Even though he did it at night for the fear of his family, but his dad Josiah stood up for him in the face of all the men of Israel. I want you to note that. That caught my attention. When his daddy was one of them, one of the leaders in his tribe, he stood up for him after Baal's altar had been torn down and the groves had been destroyed. He stood up for him. Somebody say, stood up for him. From 22,000 to 10,000, 12,000, scared out of their wits, down to 300 men that lap like a dog in the river or creek. 300 men, a trumpet, a lamp, and a pitcher, Gideon's heavenly father stood up for him on that day. If you ever want to shout, that'd be a good time to shout. His daddy stood up for him when the Baal's groves and altars were slain. But when brass come down to brass, Gideon's heavenly father stood up for him. Even though there was 300 men out of 22,000. God don't mess up. Gideon's heavenly father stood up for him. Men that lapped like dogs at the river. No sword, no arrows, but God done just what he said he would do. You know why God does weird things, we think weird things, in our life? You know why he done these weird things in Gideon's life? When, think about it, 22,000 men, what would hurt if the rest of them would have went? Hello? What would it hurt? Why did he have to get lapping men? Why did he have to have a trumpet, a pitcher, and a lamp? Why not the conventional things of that time? How many knows, and you've seen God do some really weird things? Nobody's going to admit it. God already sees what you're thinking. You can fool me, but you can't fool God. We know beyond a shadow of a doubt, God's done some weird things, and we've said to ourselves, I don't know why he did it like that. Judges chapter 7, verse 2. This is why. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give to the Midianites into their hands. You have to understand, the Midianites, they was like grasshoppers. I mean, there was thousands upon thousands of them. And yet God only needed 300 men. 300 men with a willing heart, a faith in God, and some enthusiasm. I'm telling you, listen, you've got to have some passion and enthusiasm to go out on the battlefield with only 299 more men, and the Midianites was spread out over the countryside and up and down the hills and hollers and valleys, and you've got to have some passion and you've got to have some enthusiasm. Can somebody agree with that?
Amen.
God said there's too many for me to give into the Midianites' hand, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, in Arkansas, Oklahoma language, look what I've done. Huh? Look what I've done. I've shared this with some before. I don't think I've ever shared it in my message before, but I will tell you the vulnerability that pastors have at times. I'll never forget, in the church on East Tulsa Street, I preached one Sunday evening, and I really felt like a whipped pup after I tried to deliver my message, and I just give a general altar call, turned around from the pulpit, went to the back wall, and just began to pray. God, what in the world? What do I need to do? And as I was praying and talking to God, I began to hear people sob and cry. I began to hear people crying out to God and seeking God with all of their hearts. And in my finite way, I could not help but say, God, what did I say? Anybody with me? And if I ever heard God speak audibly, he said, son, you didn't. I didn't. And I thought, wow, how awesome. I mean, sometimes God has to get a board and hit me upside the head for me to realize. Anybody with me? God said, you didn't do it. I did. I learned a great lesson that day. And that's exactly the reason why that God does some weird things in our life, is to help us realize that we don't do it. He does. And he deserves and should get all the glory. How many has prayed for something to happen and God answers that prayer, and it's about a week later you realize you could have had a V8 and you say, God, I'm sorry, I failed to thank you for what you've done. God wants you to know that he has done it. No one else can get the credit. No one else deserves the glory. No one else deserves the praise. It's all God. It's all God. And it's through that that we get that passion and that enthusiasm rejuvenated back in our heart and our life. And then we look past Gideon and we look at a man by the name of Peter that was somewhat a leader and yet confused at times. Matthew chapter 26, verse 31 through 36. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I will rise again, and I will go before you into Galilee. And Peter answered and said to him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, this night, before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise, somebody say likewise. All the disciples said the same thing to Peter. We got you back. Thumbs up. We got you back. Is that not what they said? Verse 36, then comes Jesus with them unto the place of Gethsemane and saith unto his disciples, sit here while I go yonder and pray. They couldn't even pray without falling asleep. Recapping the latter part of that chapter, Peter, in verse 51, cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest. I'd like to have a friend like that. Verse 56, and the disciples forsook Jesus and fled, all of them. Verse 58, I'm going somewhere, stay with me. Verse 58, Peter followed afar off. Verses 69 through 75, Peter denies Jesus three times through three different altercations. There's times in our life just like Peter. Do you know why the rooster had to crow to get his attention? Because he was too cocky in himself. I can't even get you to laugh at a good joke anymore. But I'm telling you the truth. Peter had to be brought down. Can you imagine Peter's heart when he heard that rooster crow? I just told Jesus that I would follow him and never be offended, and now I've been following afar off, and the rooster had to get me corrected and tell me where I was. Somewhere along the way, Peter lost his passion. Maybe it was the stress. Somewhere along the line, Peter lost his enthusiasm. Maybe it was the pressure. Somewhere along the line, he lost his relationship. No doubt it was because he was following too far off. What has happened to our passion and our enthusiasm? Not to mention our relationship with Jesus Christ. We seem to be so humdrum in our world and our today, especially with the crisis that's going on, not only in our country, but around the world. But you can rest assured when your relationship begins to wane with Jesus Christ, it's because you are certainly following way too far away. And when we do that, when we follow too far away, we lose our passion. And now our enthusiasm. This is where the rubber meets the road. Now, I understand, folks, and don't get me wrong. I understand there's things in life that the Lord allows us to enjoy and have fun. Okay? Okay? I agree with that. I like to fish. I like to hunt. I like to just walk up and down the creek. But when we put that in our life and make it our focus, we're following too far off. Christ has got to be our focus. When we get to a place, are you ready for this? I'm probably not going to get a lot of amens, but I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway. And if you want to get with the board and have an election after a while, that's fine. I know what God spoke to my heart. There's times that we would rather be in concert with Garth Brooks, along with 75 other thousand Garth Brooks fans, and he has done absolutely nothing for you. Except give you a little bit of flesh feeling of excitement for just a little while. While when the concert's over, understand my concept. Understand where I'm coming from. Understand what I'm saying. While leaving you dead and empty inside. Because you have no more passion. We have no more enthusiasm for the one who died for us, who's still carrying the scars for us, and he's still waiting for you to come to your senses and realize that all these things down here are temporary, while Jesus paid the price for everything for you and I that is eternal. I don't have nothing against Garth Brooks. Brother Paul wears a cowboy hat. I ain't got nothing against him neither. My point is not Garth Brooks. My point's not the lake. My point's not doing whatever you want to do. My point is neglecting the enthusiasm and passion for Jesus Christ. Look, I've been around a while, and I've seen people's enthusiasm and passion wane to the point, if I make it to church, okay, if I don't, okay. That's telling us what our relationship with Jesus is like. That's exposing our enthusiasm. He's more important to me than anything in this whole wide world. I said, he's more important to me than anything in this whole wide world. And yes, I'm going to take a vacation this summer. Maybe two. Okay? But it does not. It cannot. There has to be an enthusiasm about Jesus that goes with me wherever I'm at. I cannot be like Peter and be enthusiastic when I'm standing by his side. And then when hell breaks loose, I'm over in the corner somewhere. Cannot be that way. My point is, people know your passion. People know our passion. They know and they see our passion for the world. But when was the last time they seen our passion for Jesus? I encourage y'all to go ahead and come to the piano. I've seen people. Are you ready for this one? Brace yourself. Grab a hold of the front of the pew. I've seen people completely get beside themselves when a new litter of pups was born. We spent a little bit of time at the Dogwood Festival yesterday. Unfortunately. And I seen a young lady carrying around a new little puppy. Looked like a German Shepherd, but one of those sheepdogs. Anyway, cuter than a bug's ear. And people gathered around, oh, I got to see your puppy, I got to see your puppy. We get beside ourselves about a new litter of pups being born, but we show absolutely no emotion for one lost sinner that comes to the altar and gives her life to Jesus. Listen, you just now got that. I got that last night as Jesus spoke to my heart. I get excited about a litter of pups, but do I get excited about a soul that's born again into the kingdom? Jesus, help us. Someone once said, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Jesus encourages us in this time and this hour that we're living in. But that which they have, you have already, hold fast till I come. Revelation 2:25. But that which you have, hold fast till I come. Galatians 6:9, says, be not weary in well doing. For in due season you shall reap if you faint not. I'm here to tell you today the world is filled with enthusiastic people. You sports lovers should be excited that I didn't get on football or baseball today. I'm here to tell you, we come to God's house to worship Him with passion and enthusiasm. But that passion and enthusiasm shouldn't be left in your pew. It should go with you into a world. Hello? I just want to share with you. There's things that God, it's okay for us to enjoy. I'm going to the ball game with Brad and the rest of the guys. I enjoy that. But it does not take my place of the enthusiasm and the passion that I have for Jesus Christ. If you can't see a little bit of it this morning, then I pray that you'll ask God to help me. Would you stand with me all over the sanctuary? I think our quiet question should be today three things. What has happened to my passion? Where's my enthusiasm? And how can I rate my relationship with Jesus? How can I relate my relationship with Jesus? I'm here to tell you there's nothing in this world that matters more than our loving relationship with Jesus Christ that died for us, shed His blood for us, said, Father, if there's any way this cup can pass from me, let it be. But nevertheless, I'm willing to pay the price. I'm willing to pay the price. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Are we here today? First of all, if there's anyone with the sound of my voice that you're not sure whether your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, I give you the invitation to come and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to be born again, and to feel the love and the graciousness and the passion and the enthusiasm that only Jesus can give. Are you here today? We'll wait for just a moment. You need to make sure that your life is in tune with God. You need to make sure that if that trumpet sounds before we come back to church tonight, that you'll be in that number. Are you sure? Are you truly sure? While we're waiting there, I wonder how many would be honest with yourself and with God and say, Lord, my passion is not what it used to be. Lord, my enthusiasm, Lord, I pass it off as time. I'm under stress. I'm under pressure. How many be honest and say, Pastor, I'm going to talk to God about my passion. I'm going to talk to God about my enthusiasm. Would you just be honest with yourself today? Church, would you just reach your hand toward heaven and say, God, here I am. Lord, it's me that stands in the need of prayer this morning. It's me, oh God, that stands in need of your touch. I need your touch, oh God. Lord, I pray that you will stir me and give me the zeal once again. Give me that passion once again. Give me the desire, oh God, the enthusiasm. Let me share it with my neighbors. Let me share it with my co-workers. Let me share it with everybody I meet. That retailer that works in the store that is so cantankerous, I pray, God, that you'll help me to shine the light of Jesus Christ to them that need it the most and deserve it the least. Jesus, I need more of you.